John the Baptist was the first person in the New Testament said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? It said in Luke 1:15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit yet while in his mother's womb." First person in all the New Testament to be said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, believers, as soon as they become Christians, are filled with the Holy Spirit, but he was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. He's the only person in all of the Bible said to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That's, of course, that we could also say that of Jesus Christ, yet that distinction was never expressly said in Scripture. It was never said of Christ that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. We know that, of course, it's to be true because he's God in the flesh, can't be divided from the Spirit at all. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one person, divided, no divisions whatsoever. And yet, John the Baptist was the only one in the whole Bible given that distinction. There were people in the Old Testament who were said to be filled with the Spirit, or the Spirit rested on him in different times, in different places. Like Moses, when he came down from the mountain, everyone recognized the Spirit was upon him, and then at one point he was commanded that some of the Spirit that was on Moses would go upon the elders of the Israelite people to lead, to be able to have discernment and decisions and things like that. King Saul, the first king of Israel, said that when he became king, the Spirit rested on him, but it was only for a short time. It was only for a season, because eventually Saul turned his back on the Lord, and the Spirit was taken away from him. Then King David, it says that he had the Spirit. And in fact, he was the last king of Israel said to have had the Holy Spirit, because all the kings after King David turned from the Lord. Even King Solomon, though he was so wise, had a period of his life where he turned from God. And the Bible doesn't say that he had the Spirit upon him. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament claimed that they spoke for the Lord and had the Spirit on them, although not every prophet did claim that. Although I think the New Testament says that the Spirit rested on the prophets, so we can assume that all of the prophets in the Old Testament had the Spirit as well. But all these cases, never was it from the birth, like John the Baptist. It's very interesting that this was about 34 years before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit came down upon God's people that confessed Christ. So we need to ask the question, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for John the Baptist, and what does it mean for us now that we have the Spirit in our lives because of Pentecost? When we come to trust Christ as Savior, what does that mean that the Holy Spirit comes and rests on us? And is that different from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to answer this question from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Paul wrote this. He said, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would teach us this morning. But more than that, I pray that this morning you would empower us through the Spirit. All who call on Christ as Savior, I pray that it would be said of us that we are full of the Spirit, that we would be living lives that glorify you. Teach us, convict us, and empower us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Rarely will you hear me say this, I think, but I'm going to be all over the place in the Bible this morning. So for those of you who like to look up every scripture, I encourage you to go to our website tomorrow. I'll post the sermon online and go through it chunk by chunk at that point, but you'll be flipping through your Bible too much this morning to look up every verse that I mention. So just keep your Bible there in the main text, because we're going to come back to it. So I pray that we would all be convicted this morning. So just listen as I speak all these things. And if you want, jot down references or go to our website, gracebaptistchurchsbc.org. Tomorrow, I promise I'll have the sermon posted by then. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We know, of course, from all of the New Testament that as soon as you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, right? The Holy Spirit makes its home within you, and it said that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. As soon as you trust Christ, this isn't something that happens one day in the future. It's not something that we need to pray for continually, right? The Holy Spirit is in us as believers. Ephesians 1, verse 13, just a couple pages earlier, says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Just as the Holy Spirit was promised to the believers, as soon as you come to Christ, as soon as you have faith in Him, that's when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And you're sealed, it says. You're sealed as a believer forever. You don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit leaving you. He's sealed within you. And you're sealed to eternal life if you have genuine faith, if you have genuine trust in Christ. So if that's what the Holy Spirit does as soon as we come to believe, if He comes to fill us up then, why is this command here? It says in verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's writing to a church here, right? He's writing to a group of people who claim Christ as their Savior. So why does he have to make the command, be filled with the Spirit, if that's all, it's already true for all believers? I think we should note, just as we've said, the Holy Spirit's in us the moment we believe, and He's in us completely, right? He's not just in us partially, like it said that Moses, a portion of the Spirit was taken off of Moses and put it on to the elders. We don't have like a half cup of the Holy Spirit within us. We're full of the Spirit. All of the Spirit is residing in within us. The Bible never says that someone has just a little bit of the Spirit. You either have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. And that's consistent with the New Testament. What about this command to be filled with the Spirit? It's interesting to note that both Luke, that Donald read earlier, and Paul, they note this contrast between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with wine. It's an interesting contrast, I think. You wouldn't normally put those two together. But that passage in Luke, I think, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord," talking about John the Baptist, "and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet while in his mother's womb." It's stated that John the Baptist was not even to drink wine, but rather he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here too, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instruct us not to be drunk on it. Didn't say not to drink it, but it says, don't be drunk on it, but be filled with the Spirit instead. I think what it's saying is those who have the Spirit of God, those who have the Holy Spirit within them, are going to live radically different lives than the people around them. I don't know about your friends that aren't believers, but many of my friends who are believers, they look forward to those times of partying, right? They look forward to those either getting drunk on they don't drink wine. My friends don't anyway. My unbelieving friends. They drink hard liquor or even occasional alcohol, you know? But they look forward to that. That's their joy. But as believers, our joy isn't to be in those kinds of things. It's to be in Christ, you know? Our joy isn't to be filled with worldly pleasures, but in Christ alone. Christ is our joy. Christ is our satisfaction. The world longs for that joy in worldly pleasures. It longs for that joy in the next high. But our joy is not in desires of the flesh, but in Christ alone. Christ alone is our treasure. This is why in this passage, this command about being filled with the Spirit makes perfect sense. Look at the verses around it, starting in verse 15. He wrote, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Being filled with the Spirit is a picture, a mental picture for us to hold on to as we live these Christian lives. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not in that we're supposed to get more of the Spirit than we already have, because we already have the Holy Spirit within us. But if we remember the Spirit is inside us, empowering us, living through us, then we're going to live a life more consistent with our Christian beliefs. It's this mental picture of, do I have the Spirit or do I not have the Spirit? If we remind ourselves, I'm to be full of the Spirit, then we're going to live a life consistent with the Spirit being inside of us. It reminds us that we're not to live according to the spirit of this world, but according to the Spirit of God. The text goes on to give us a few more examples of what a Spirit-filled life looks like. Look at verse 19. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. We're to encourage each other, right? We're to encourage it, not just so that we might be encouraged, but with a purpose to it. It says, making melody with your heart to the Lord, with the ultimate purpose of praising God. The people around us in the world, they think these are good things, encouraging each other. That's a good thing, right? But for us, it's not just about our relationships with each other. That's a big part of it. But ultimately, all of our relationships ought to praise God. And also verse 20, it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. See, we're to submit to each other with the ultimate purpose of honoring God. That's our ultimate purpose. It's not so that we might be nice to each other and have good fellowship, but to praise God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, then, isn't just reserved for a few select Christians. Some of the time, there's some denominations that think the Spirit comes and Spirit goes in believers' life. And they have to wait for a special infilling of the Spirit, even after they've trusted Christ. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's for all believers, all the time, to be filled with the Spirit. We're to always live a life that's Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring and God-exalting. I think the prophet Micah illustrated this best. Micah wrote, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might. He's not saying that he was filled with the Holy Spirit four different ways, power, Spirit, justice and might. But rather he's saying all of these things are the same thing. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with power. You're filled with justice. You're filled with might. When the Bible describes somebody as being filled with the Spirit, especially New Testament believers, since we already have the Spirit completely, what it's saying is just what Micah said right there. When we're living powerful Christian lives, when we're doing right things, living justly in the world, that's how it's why it's said of us that we're filled with the Spirit. That's when you read the New Testament, when it talks about people filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit to do such and such. It's not that the Spirit's upon them anymore. It's just that they're following the Spirit. They're being guided by the Spirit. They're living a certain lifestyle that demonstrates that they're not relying on themselves. They're relying on God's power. May that always be said of us, not just once in a while. To be filled with the Spirit of the Lord means to be filled with power. And we're given strength to live these Christian lifestyles. All of the commandments of the Bible, all the commands that were given in both Testaments, we can't live those things on our own. Whenever you do those things, eagerly, fully, completely, you're not doing them by your power. You're doing them by the power of the Spirit within you. And in this context in Ephesians, that's exactly why Paul told us what the Spirit-filled life looks like. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to live holy, godly lives, not as unwise men, but as wise. Not as foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.